And I will give, since it's his first time here, a formal introduction of Reverend Isaac Omolen. And he's known as Baba Isaac Omolen, is the General Superintendent of the Word Commission International and Senior Pastor of the Word Assembly, Ilorin. A veteran minister, itinerant preacher and missionary, he has taken the gospel to all the six continents of the world with signs and wonders following. Reverend Omolen is a highly sought-after conference speaker, and in addition to the church based in Ilorin, he and his wife, who is here with him this evening, are co-founders of an orphanage, Hope Orphanage Ilorin, where about 100 children have found love and care. They are also co-founders of Shiloh Bible College and a group of schools. Reverend Omolen is a radio and television evangelist and equally a prolific author with many books to his credit. He's married with children, and his biological children are in various parts of the world serving the Lord as pastors and missionaries. And I firmly believe, because he's a strong minister, if you listen to him, word-based minister, with remarkable signs and wonders. But I believe something is going on in this country, because there's been an upward surge and rise in his ministry among young people. And I think God has seen it fit in his sovereignty and his infinite wisdom that there is something he has placed in this man that the next generation has to understand and embrace. Let's rise to our feet as we welcome to the rostrum Reverend Isaac Omolen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Let us be seated. God bless you. I start by acknowledging Pastor Bojo Emade, who has been instrumental in raising this great assembly. Let's put our hands together for him and his wife. And it pleased God in his own timing to bring him up, to give this generation an alternative to the organized chaos that the church plung itself into. One more time, let's celebrate, Brother. I also want this sitting to please appreciate with me Brother Emiko, as we call him. Brother Emiko. Because he did so much work on me to bring me here. Thank you, sir. This conference stands out as a robust effort to create a bridge between the theory of our being with the practical that has to be the case before Jesus comes. And a whole lot of us live in an illusion of confessions that are not real, and proclamations and professions of Christian faith that has failed to work out. And as the frustration is growing in the body, and a lot of people are beginning to ask questions, and some no longer even come to church. This meeting is coming up to produce the practical realities to reassure this generation that God is real and faith in Him is workable. Wings of faith soaring. I want to address this. I have a privilege to have been old enough to see the first house. And I now see this one. And we are asking, what happened? As we're trying to find an answer, the repairers are trying to repair. The spoilers are spoiling it more. So, it becomes an endless effort that seems to only resonate with people like us who are getting fed up and we're saying, Maranatha, maybe let him come. Let's go. Because the more there are people who are trying to repair this damaged house, the more there are people who are also damaging it. Unfortunately, the people damaging it are stronger. They have more access to decadent funds. And they are in the media. They are everywhere that the repairers cannot access. But this meeting provides hope that all will be well. Amen. That there is a place to resort for the remnants. That our Lord will not have invested his life and died the way he did to get nothing. And those who sympathize with the cause of Christ must find a place to gather. That Jesus will not die in vain. And he will not come back and meet a church that he cannot rapture. The whole of heaven into mourning, if all the investment of the Son of God comes to nothing. So we are looking at a way to find a way to take off. And not only to fly, but to soar. Soaring is a greater exercise than flying. He who cannot fly cannot soar. And I look at, therefore, some of the nemesis and the problems that confront our capacity for flying, let alone for soaring. There's a Yoruba adage that says, "Eniti ole dide kole noru." That is, he who cannot stand can abi. You have to first of all the day before you. And for people who are familiar with flying, you see, there must be first of all a pushback. And then you move, you fly. In a number of incidents where you can't push back, you can't talk of flying. So I'm going to take a fairly more primitive look at the subject this night of being able to take off at all. For he who cannot delay cannot who cannot even stand. You can't talk of him standing straight. You can't even stand at all. And a number, for real, on a serious note, a number of ministries, a number of callings, a number of talents, a number of visions that the Lord has endowed on a number of believers in this end time are struggling even to take off. And it is in this meeting you will find your capacity to take off. This meeting will provide healing. This meeting will plug your feet from the merry clay. This meeting will put your feet on the rock to stay. This meeting will point the way for you to advance. This meeting will put a song in your mouth. Wave your hand and say hallelujah. We got to the beginning of the beginning. What do you think God was doing when he created Adam? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth, of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What do you think God was doing when he made man? What do you think was in his mind when he made man? What was in his heart when he made the earth? Was it that he needed another heaven, or a place like look like heaven, that an annex of heaven where he can go for holidays, where he can come and create other beings and creatures that are not like angels, but to create something like him, somebody like him. And so he called for that effort to be put in place. Then certain beings who were around, every other thing he was making at the time, he was speaking them into being. Let there be, and there was. But when it came to man, he made man. It's like they sat him down as our principal, and the makers who are molding. He has head, he has hand, he has eyes. And that's why the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro. He has eyes, he has hands. That's why the Bible says that the hand of the Lord is not short. He has legs, man was molded in the image and in the likeness. Photocopy. Like God. It didn't stop there. God went down and emptied himself into the man. So what do you think God was making? God was making another God. So in terms of the body corporeal, in terms of the physique and figure and picture, in terms of the parts, body parts, in terms of structure and features, God was making man like another god. And it didn't stop at that in terms of the physical appearance and the likeness and the imagery and the rest of it. He emptied himself into that structure. So we are having a man. We are having a man that looked like God on the outside, and we are having a man that carries the entire God on the inside. So because the physical is all God, the content is all God. That's who he made. And he was coming from heaven and coming to Adam, and they will speak. And you think that Adam was flesh? Can two walk together except they agree? Adam was more than flesh. Adam was God. God will come, the two of them will stand and be discussing. That was man. That was the man. And I'm here this night to return you to that. Because that was the idea. That was the idea from the beginning. What happened in the adulterated man? But listen, even adulterated fuel is fuel. Listen. Adulterated fuel can still be used to drive a vehicle. What happened to you? And Satan came and offered food to him that was not hungry. The acceptance of the food that Satan offered Adam and Eve in the garden did not come down to a hunger as the reason. No, they were not hungry. What happened there was covetousness. Ojukukuru. They were not hungry. And that's a principal element in flesh. When you go to Galatians chapter 5 and begin to read from verse 19, you will see the list of items there that the Bible calls the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Such like now brands all other types into this long list. Covetousness, greed. For a greedy person, he will be stealing what he does not need. What, for instance, will make a man in our country to steal 500 billion naira? What does he want to use it for? But that is greed. A greedy man will be stealing what he does not need, which impairs his health. The faith that soweth, when we are thinking of things that soweth, we are to immediately think of birds. All birds have wings. All birds have feathers. But not all birds fly. And the ones that do not fly, they don't fly because of excess body weight. This is what I studied in school. And I studied it to the highest level. The ostrich, big birds, the broilers, a great fowl. Christmas just went by. A great fowl. He attained the body weight. I have a farm. That's what I studied. I still go to farm. I rear birds for Christmas that became 2 kg in 29 days. We stockpile it with food. And then it put on flesh. Flesh. And you need to see it. If there was danger on the farm and we have to run, we push it, I have to run. All birds have wings. All birds have feather. Not all birds fly. The only ones that do not fly for reason of excess. They have feather, they have wings, but they don't fly. And the reason they don't fly is because of weight. See that we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. He said, let us lay aside every weight. Wait. What brings the weight? And the sin, which does so easily beset us. And let us run. Run. With weight. Elephantiasis is not an asset. Let us run with elephantiasis. Say, let us run with you, with this type of leg. And there are men and women in this sitting tonight who have a go commission. You have a go ministry. You have a go ministry. Your power is on your leg. Like Joshua. The power of Moses was in his hands, because when he was called, he was told, what is in your hand? Put it here, bring it out. And every miracle Moses did, he did by the hand. But when God called Joshua, he didn't talk about his son. He said, wherever the soul of your feet is. So he put Joshua's own in the leg. And you will discover that every miracle that Moses did with the hand, Joshua did. When Moses raised his hand over the Red Sea divided. But Joshua got to River Jordan and said, please put your hands. And when they got to the Jericho wall to bring it down, if it was Moses that was in charge, he will spread his hand, the wall will come down. But Joshua's ministry, he told the soldiers, you are to move, and the wall will come down. And there are people, but I'm saying, that how far do you go when you have elephantiasis? When your leg ministry has been curtailed and impaired. Because you went somewhere and returned with chains. The discourse you dance from evening till the morning. It will end up in spiritual elephantiasis. And your leg ministry has been put on hold. I'm sent to you tonight. You will be healed tonight. You will soon be healed. Amen. You will soon be healed. Amen. Whatever has held your leg that you can't stand, let alone run. You can't run, let alone fly. You can't fly, let alone soar. So much is wrong with you. I am sent to you.
You will not be allowed to advance further in this year until you are healed.
Amen.
You will soon be healed.
Amen.
Jesus was even hungry when they brought food. You see, the Bible had only lasted 3 chapters when the issue of food came up. The New Testament had only lasted 3 chapters when the issue of food. And unless Jesus knew what to do, they said, I knew what he was doing. But for Adam, Adam was not hungry, but Jesus was hungry. But that is to tell you about the soaring superiority that the New Testament has over the Old. Jesus decided not to have anything to do with that. You can resist sin. You are a believer. You are a Christian. You can fight. You can win. October 6, 2007. Jameel McLean in Madison Square Garden in New York fought Samuel Peters for world heavyweight title. Samuel Peters was the champion. He was the world champion. 12 rounds of fighting. In round 2, McLean Jameel gave a blow to Samuel Peter. Bwah! And Samuel Peter fell down. We are going to 12. This is 2, sir. No, wait. And the referee was counting Samuel Peters out. 1, 2. But before the referee got to 10, the bell rang to save Samuel Peters, so he staggered to his feet. Round 3. Only a few seconds when McLean Jameel came with another blow. Bwah, bwah. And Samuel Peters lay flat on the ground. And the referee began to count. 1, 2, 3. Samuel Peters is from Akwa Ibom. Wait. I have a countdown on the clock. The present Senate president, Akpabio, Godswill Akpabio, who was the governor of Akwa Ibom State at that time, went to New York to give moral support to the son of the soil that was defending his world title. And Samuel Peter was lying on the ground while the referee was counting 1, 2, 3. Akpabio moved to the ringside and whispered to Samuel Peter in their native tongue and said, get up and fight. We are here from home. You are not alone. Get up and fight. Samuel Peter, you can do it. Get up and fight. You can win this battle. I came here, the whole of Akwa Ibom is here by the ringside. And Samuel Peter, hearing his own native tongue, looked to the side and saw Akpabio. And Akpabio said, yes, I am the one, I'm the governor of your state. Get up and fight. And Samuel Peter staggered to his feet. Akpabio continued to say, get up and fight. You can win. And Samuel Peter fought and won. And if you have been beaten down, can I speak the language of heaven? Can I speak the language of your father's language and say, get up and fight. You can make it. Get up and fight. Raise your hand and say, Father, I will get up and fight and win. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am getting up. I'm fighting. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm getting up. I'm fighting.
Sit down.
There will be no loser getting out of this hall tonight. Because that's not your portion. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Did you hear that? The righteous enters therein and he is saved. And the Bible says in verse 22, after listing the works of the flesh, he now says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There are laws against idolatry. There are laws against witchcraft. There are laws against revelings. There are laws against all. In fact, it is the law that criminates the practitioner that makes a sinner out of him. But there's no law against love. There's no law against peace. There's no law against joy. There's no law against long suffering. There is no law against all those that the Bible calls fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says that Satan goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. All lions eat flesh. No lion eat leaves. No lion eat grass. Excuse me. No lion eat anything except flesh. The works of the flesh are this. And when Jesus said that the prince of this world have come to me and found nothing. When this lion get to you and find flesh, he will sit down. When he finds adultery, when he finds fornication, when he finds all those things, he will sit down. He wants to eat. And when the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you, what you use to resist it is fruit. No lion eat fruit. He said the fruit of the Spirit are this. If you produce the fruits and the lion came and he has no flesh, he starves to death. In fact, he leaves you alone. You waste your time too many times trying to pray against the witch, pray against the witch, who sorcerer's grain. You are wasting time. Develop fruit. Did you hear me? Develop fruit. Bring fruit. Lion don't eat fruit. And the Bible says, bring forth fruit. We have wasted our time too many times about this non-entity called Satan. You see, if you produce fruit, no lion eat fruit. No lion eat guava. No lion eat apple. No lion eat mango. They all eat flesh. And if you continue to amass flesh, 16.3% of all people who die in the United States, they die from overall body mass, excess body weight. Obesity is not an asset. And when you have spiritual, obesity is an excessive addition of flesh. Now airlines are now charging more because of additional belt. Airlines are charging more now when you are obese. They ask you to pay more. Because all the excess luggages they are carrying, they are in the boot. You are sitting, you are here, sitting here. You are supposed to go and sit inside that place. Airlines are now charging more because of the extra belt that you are going to need. Excessive body mass creates a lot of health problems. That is how it is in matters of the spirit. When you have gathered so much flesh around yourself, you will be developing some spiritual health complications. Unfortunately, there are no spiritual hospitals. Obesity, excess flesh, excess overweight from flesh. Each of these works of the flesh add a weight. That's why Paul told Hebrews and said, seeing that we are compassed with a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. You want to soar. What makes this very important for me is because of where I know you are going. But weight, how about weight? How about weight? How about excess weight? How about excess weight? The hands you are supposed to lay on the sick and they will recover. These hands caught leprosy somewhere. The mouth you are supposed to use to pray and preach and prophesy. You've gone to kiss Baal. When you have gone to kiss Baal and you are back, you have swollen lips. And you are blowing a muted trumpet. Your trumpet refused to sound. It is in this meeting that you will be healed. And I will send you back to work. The prophets among you will start prophesying again. The seers among you whose eyes have been covered with fat. We're going to remove. When we start prayer here this night, and I ask you to lose the weight, and you will answer back, I let go. When I command your leg, lose the weight, you are to talk back and say, I let go. That's what we're supposed to say. The evangelists among you will be rising and walking tonight. Silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. The prophets among you, you will open your mouth tonight and you begin to prophesy. Because a prophet thou art. And you have been registered in the apostolic, but you couldn't get up because of excess weight. When you hear it from this altar, an authority will go out and say, drop the weight. And you will answer, I. All of you whose kidneys are in the hand of the enemy, and they are booking you for this dialysis. You have done the last one. It says, so being surrounded with a cloud of witnesses. He said, let us drop every weight and the sin. That's the weight. That's the weight. This catch and miss, catch and miss, catch and miss. That's the weight. This is the sin. The time to drop it has come. Tell yourself, I'm about to take off. Say it loud. Say it. No stopping me. No stopping me now. I'm on my way now. I will soon take off. I will soon fly. I will soon soar. No holding me down. I remove my leg from the merry clay. I put my feet on the rock to stay. I have a song in my mouth. I'm singing, I am on my way. Goodbye. Sit down. There was a hunter in my village when I was growing up. He went to farm and came home with small eggs of eagle and went and put the eggs under the local hen that was brooding. And the hen hatched the eggs of eagle together with its own chicken and was carrying them about. You know, the leg of eagle, the feet, they are close. They are not made flat to walk. It's difficult to walk. So the eaglets will be struggling to follow their strange mother. But that's the mother they have. And they were becoming smaller and smaller because they cannot compete for food. As a matter of fact, the food that the hen was offering them, it's not their food. One day, as I will say to certain of you who are here tonight, not one day, but today. Do you believe? One day in the life of a man, things turn around. Could this be your day? One day the hen was going about as usual with the chicks that were inclusive of the eaglets. And the mother eagle was flying over them and looked down and saw the eaglets and made a sound to them. The eaglets look up and saw their mom. Then the mom made the second sound again. Then they took a flight and went to meet their mom and went away and never came back to the chicken. Those of you who have been going about with the chicken when you belong to the air, you'll be hearing a sound from me to say, come up hither. You'll be hearing a sound from me saying, come up hither. Leave the ground, go up. Leave the chicken, go up. Say to yourself, I'm leaving the ground, I'm going up. I'm going to my place. You remember what the Lord says, that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. What are you doing down there? Three weeks ago, I was in a crusade in Kogi State. And one woman came out and said, I want to give testimony in the presence of everybody. He said, sir, you came to this stadium 2004. That is 20 years ago. And I've not seen you since then. I've not been to Lokoja Stadium since 2004. He said, you came here. My pregnancy will usually be 8 months, 8.5 months, then I will born. But that year, my pregnancy was 11 months and was going to 1 year. And I came to you and I said, sir, it's no longer comfortable. I'm familiar with this when a pregnancy have termed the woman sit down is not comfortable. When he sit down, stand up is not comfortable. When he lie down is not comfortable. This one stayed there 2 extra months and was going to 1 year. So I gave her a seat and said, sit down here. And I look at the pregnancy and I said, baby, inside. I spoke in Yoruba. What are you still doing there? You are inconveniencing your mom. Come out. And the service closed. They went home that night and the baby came out. There is a great gift of God inside you spending over time. And you are aging. You are aging. Ojotin lolorie. Awenu fufu. Gray hair. Have started to come out. Time is going on you and you are there. And what you are supposed to be, you couldn't be. Where your level you couldn't attain. You are to soar, you can't even stand. This is the night. I'm calling out the talent. I'm calling out the gift. I'm calling out the power of God. And I'm saying to you, what are you still doing where you are? Get up. There are some of you here. What is inside you? A whole luxurious bus is inside you. A story building is inside you. Visa is inside you. A factory is inside you. A CEO that is not supposed to be carrying application from place to place is inside you. But you couldn't burn. You couldn't produce. And I am asking, what is that thing still doing inside you? This night, come out. Father, I pray. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. You are coming out tonight.
Mama, pray.
And say, Father, this night I'm going up. I'm flying high. I'm soaring.
No longer at the ground level.
In the name of Jesus.
This is my night of promotion.
This is my night of exhortation.
Now.
Wait.
Amen.
There's a lecturer in the University of Ilorin. He became mad. And he would go to the bus stop where people enter bus to go to University of Ilorin and be speaking English there and be doing mad, be manifesting, and the students will gather and be weeping. There is one of the students that he had preached to, that the student preached to him, and he told the student that, "I want to go and enjoy life first." So the student wanted to enter bus and went to him and said, "Okay, you say you want to go and enjoy life first. You have been enjoying life. But in anything? Now life has turned against you. Would you like to accept Christ that I told you before?" He said, "Yes." Now. Then the girl said, "All right, come to this side and say the prayer after me. Say, Father." He said, "Father, I give my life to you. I give my life to you. Write my name in the book of life." He said, "Write my register in heaven. Write my name in the book of life. Now. Holy Spirit, enter into me." He said, "Holy Spirit, enter into me. Now." Whatever the girl was leading her to do, she will end it with. And when the final prayer was made, I said, "In Jesus' name I pray." He said, "In Jesus' name I pray. Now." And the final now, the head became correct. That's where we went back to classroom and started teaching. This your leg that they tie down. I release it. Now. Come on, shake your leg. In the name of Jesus. Whatever has entered your head, let it come out. This your mouth that you are to use to prophesy, and they have blocked your mouth. In the name of Jesus, let your mouth open. This your eye that cannot see, and you are a seer. You are a seer. You are a seer. A seer thou art. Let your eyes open. Those of you that they tie down and you cannot get up, "Silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, I give unto you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Rise up and walk. of you that your wing have not been able to fly because of overmass. Drop the weight now, now.
No, you are not following my instruction.
When I said drop the weight, you say I let. The load they put on your head, I drop it now. I let go. This your leg that is overweight, elephantiasis, that is not allowing you to walk, let alone walk, in the name of Jesus, drop the weight now. I let go. Yeah.